Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. My, it's hard to believe this is the last week of the year, 2015. We'll be gone before this week is out. Friday will be the first day of a new year, and my, how time has swiftly passed us by. But we are rejoicing in the Lord. I hope you are as well, rejoicing over the goodness of God, the blessings of our Lord. I mentioned to you last week about my wife getting the good news on Wednesday from her doctor that her tumor is gone, hallelujah, and that she's doing well. And so we're grateful for that and rejoicing in that. And while you're listening to this program, we are back in North Carolina this week, spending Christmas a week late with our family. We enjoyed having my mom and dad in over Christmas Day. They actually came in on Wednesday and stayed in. Well, they came in on Tuesday, stayed in on Wednesday, and left on Thursday on Christmas Day and headed back. But we had Christmas together and had a good time. Now we're in the state of North Carolina having Christmas a week late with our family, and trusting that God's blessing you while you're here for the last week of 2015. I've been preaching a message. I started last week on the first Christmas carol is the name of the sermon, and a series dealing with those angels as they sang that good news to the shepherds. And I can't exactly prove that they sang it. The Bible says there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, it does not say singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. But we normally think of that as singing, but I can prove that the morning stars sang together at creation. And I imagine and believe that's talking about the angels of God singing at creation. Therefore, I believe that they were and do sing at the salvation of sinners. I believe that they sing at the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be going on dealing with that this week as well. Not just Christmas week, but this week as well. We'll be concluding that sermon this week, Lord willing, and carrying that on. And now on Monday, I played a repeat of the message that I preached on Friday because of the fact that it was the day after Christmas. A lot of people would not have heard that message. And so I played that again on Monday, and I'm planning on playing a different message then on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. But we'll be finishing up this message this week. So if you will, go with us to the Lord in prayer as we pray. Ask God to bless and help in the program this week. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank you for how good you've been to us, Lord, with all of your blessings. Lord, we look back at Christmas holidays. Remember that you gave your only begotten Son the greatest blessing, the greatest gift that could ever be given, that men and women, boys and girls, might be saved by the good grace of God. If not for Jesus coming, if not for God being manifest in the flesh, as my dad preached on Wednesday night, if not being Emmanuel, God, with us, we'd never have a chance of going to heaven. We died in our sins and went to hell. But Lord, I want to thank you that because Jesus came, and Jesus lived a perfect sinless life, Jesus died a sinless sacrificial death, taking our place and tasting death for every man. Therefore, people have the opportunity to call on the Lord, to trust in him, and allow his blood to be the atonement for their sin. Lord, I want to thank you for that. Father, I want to thank you for my wife getting the good news about her tumor being gone. I want to thank you for strength and health and the blessings you've given us, for the privilege to be able to go back to North Carolina and spend a few days with our family. Father, I pray that you'll bless that time. Father, I pray that you'd bless the time here at the radio as the year ends. Lord, I pray that you would bless, that everything go according to thy will. And as they say, the loose ends be tied together. And Lord, it be a good year for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless the church here at Island Ford. Have your way, Lord, we pray. In all that goes on, pray you'd get the glory and the honor. And Lord, we ask it all in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I do ask that you help the services here on Wednesday night as Brother Joel Gray will be preaching, and that you'll have your way in that as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us, and we're going to be going to the scriptures, as we said, in Luke chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading verse number 8, read down through verse number 14, take our message primarily from verse number 14, and hope that you'll turn there and read along with us. We've got this song by the Sugar Grove Singers playing especially for us this week, as they did last week, and the song entitled, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. And I recognize that this is not Christmas week, it's actually the week after Christmas. But I believe it'd be a good time for us to continue thinking along these lines. And I'm glad God gave us the good news and allowed these angels to sing the good news unto the shepherds. And then that's been passed on to us even to this day. And we're grateful and thankful for that. So here is the Sugar Grove Singers singing that old Christmas carol. Hark, the herald angels sing. Well, amen. I trust that was a blessing to you. And I appreciate the Sugar Grove Singers. They've been a blessing here to the listeners at WSOF and WAJJ Radio, and we're grateful for them singing that song for us, and we're being able to play it there on the radio. And it's a blessing to be able to keep remembering the fact that the angels sang these praises unto our God. We're looking in the scriptures now at Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8 is where we're taking our text. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Now, we've been talking about this song that the angels sang. We talked a little bit about the angels themselves and how that they were so unselfish, so lacking of envy. Amen. So humble in the fact that they were not proud. And they gave that message to these lowly shepherds. And they gave the message to the humans. And they looked back and recognized that when the angels fell, their fellow angels fell into sin, that Christ did not stoop, or God did not stoop from his throne to rescue them, but he let them go. He let them go on in their sin, let them go on in their depravity, unto chains of darkness, to be bound unto the day of judgment. But when man fell, God was moved. Thank God he was. Amen. I'm glad God came walking in the cool of the day, just as he had before, and said, Adam, where art thou? Not that God did not know where that Adam was, but that God was making a search, and God was making a point that he was going after mankind. Thank God that he did that for us. Amen. These angels sang that song with joy, and we talked about that a little bit. But we got to talking about these thoughts, these instructive thoughts that we can learn from this song that the angels sang. First of all, we said that these angels proclaimed that salvation gives glory to God. Matter of fact, that salvation gives the highest glory unto our God that he can get. Creation surely brings God glory. Amen. Many things we could say brings God glory, but certainly the incarnation, the fact that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and that brought us salvation, is the greatest glory unto God that there can be. Amen. And then we said, secondly, after that the angels had sung that glory to God in the highest, that which was an old song, they moved to singing a new part where they sang peace on earth. And we preached about that on Wednesday and Thursday of last week, how that there could be peace on earth. Hallelujah. Not peace among men necessarily, peace with men to men, but peace between God and man. Hallelujah. And then we preached on Friday and played that again on Monday about the fact that God has good will towards men. And we talked about how that some philosophers say that you can see that God has good will toward men, how that some very wise men, say that creation shows us that God has goodwill to men, but we know that man in himself, when it comes time to die, or when he thinks about death, man recognizes that there is a gap. I mean a very vast gap. There is a gulf between God and man that man cannot get over. It's going to take God reaching down to man in order for man to get across that gulf, and thank God Jesus did that for us. Amen. And I got to preaching about how God has goodwill toward men, and how that God has even declared. He said in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, but rather that he should turn unto me and live." In Ezekiel 33:11. And then in Isaiah 1:18, he said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Thank God. Now listen, sinner friend, you might say, "Lord, how can I know that you have this goodwill towards me?" Well, I'll tell you that God would point you to yonder manger, and he'd say, "Sinner, if it had not been for the goodwill of God in heaven towards thee, would God have parted with his son?" If God had not had goodwill towards the human race, would he have given his son to become one of that race, that by doing so, he might redeem them from death? Amen. Can I tell you, all of you which might doubt our God's love, look to that circle of the angels, see their blaze of glory, hear their song, and let your doubts die away as the sweet music rolls. Let your doubts be buried in the shroud of their harmony as they sing redemption song, as they sing the fact that God has given his son and a savior is born in Bethlehem. God has goodwill towards men. He is willing to pardon men. He is willing to cleanse them from iniquity and from transgression and from sin. Listen, mark well, friend, the devil may add to you and say, "Well, now, although God had goodwill, yet he cannot violate his justice. Therefore, his mercy must be ineffective, and you must die." Then listen to the first note of the song when the song said, "Glory to God in the highest," and reply to the devil in all of his temptations that when God shows goodwill to the repentant sinner, there must be not only peace in the sinner's heart, but it brings glory to every attribute of God so that he can be just and yet justify the sinner and glorify himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, friend, I do not pretend to say that I've given you all that could be said in these instructional notes on these three points of this wonderful song. But I want to move on to my next point, where he says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I'd like for you to think a little bit about some happiness thoughts, or let me say some emotional thoughts. I believe that listening to the song which the angels sing would bring several emotions that are beneficial to us. And I want to name a few. I've got two together, and I've got two sets of those. And so I'm going to talk, first of all, about happiness and joy. They go together. Now, friend, think about this verse. He says, "Glory," these angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Does not this angel song stir in your heart and fill you with happiness and with joy? Amen. When you read and find the angels singing, listen, you probably think to yourself, if the angels could usher in this gospel's great head with singing, surely we can preach it with singing. I'm telling you, when we preach the gospel message and when we present Jesus to the world, we ought to have a song in our heart. Amen. And those that are listening ought to listen with a song as well. Our hearts ought to be glad and our spirits rejoice together. Amen. Now, I know that there are some somber religionists who were born on the dark night of December and think that a smile upon the face is a wicked thing. Many of them, it seems, believe that for Christmas to be glad and to rejoice is to be inconsistent. Listen, friends, I wish you could see what these angels said. I wish you could hear as they sang about Christ. For if the angels sang about his birth, even though it was no concern to them, Are you listening? He was not coming for their salvation. It did not mean salvation to the angels. But when he said there'd be salvation towards men, even the angels rejoiced. Hallelujah. And certainly men might go about singing, amen, as long as we live. We might even sing about it when we die and sing about it in heaven forever and forever, because this song brings us joy and this good news brings us joy and puts a song down in our heart. Amen. Listen, friend, I know that many there are who claim to know Christ, and yet they don't have a song. I'd love to see more of this singing Christianity among the saints, wouldn't you? It seems to me that in the last few years, there's been many that go about groaning and unbelieving and having a joyless form of Christianity. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about that I doubt the sincerity of this modern joyless Christianity, but I do doubt the healthy nature of it. Amen. They don't have a healthy character in their profession, or else they would have some joy. But the fact that they don't have joy tells me it is a sickly profession. Amen. Listen, they may be saved. That may be true. It may be real enough. I'm not speaking against their profession, but I'm saying that it seems to me that they practice a sickly religion and not a healthy one nor a vibrant one, or else this good news would bring joy and happiness in their soul. Amen. That great hymn writer and theologian of the 17th and 18th century, Isaac Watts, squarely hit the mark when he said, here's what he said, religion never was designed to make our pleasures less. Amen. Mr. Isaac Watts hit it right on the nail when he said that. Religion was never intended to make our joy less. Oh yes, real religion is designed to do away with some of our pleasures, those which are sinful and those which are hurtful. But it gives us many more pleasures that make up for what it takes away, so that it does not make our pleasures less. Oh no, it takes away those sinful and hurtful things, but it gives us many more helpful and holy pleasures. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, the best day as a sinner can never compare even to the worst day of the saint. The worst day of the saint is better than the best day of the sinner. What a joy it is to know Jesus. What a blessing and privilege it is to be saved. Amen. Now come with me and think with me just a moment. Come here and look and see the angels. Listen to them singing their song. Amen. Do you hear their story? Are they telling that story with groans? Are they telling that story with sobs and sighs? Oh no, they're singing aloud. Matter of fact, they shout aloud, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. They're shouting glory because there's joy in that song. Amen. Now listen, friends, you and I ought to imitate that. Amen. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, we ought to imitate the songs of the angels. If you are a professor of religion, in other words, if you claim to be saved by the grace of God, you ought to always have a cheerful disposition. Amen. Let others mourn. But why should the children of the King go mourning all the day long? Amen. Anoint your head and wash your face and appear not unto them to fast. That's what our Lord said. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Especially this week when we think about Christmas, when we think about God giving His Son, ought to be a time to rejoice and a time to be happy. Amen. Listen, the lost are miserable, and rightly so. The lost are miserable. Those who are among the damned are miserable. But let the saved be happy. Let the saved show forth some joy. Amen. Why should you hold fellowship with the lost by feelings of perpetual mourning? I mean, just keep on perpetually mourning. Why would you do that? Light has no concord with the darkness. I'm telling you, no communion with darkness. In other words, we ought not be like the world is and have feelings of perpetual mourning. Rather, we ought to have joys and anticipate the joys of heaven and begin singing on earth that song that we'll sing in the glory world. We ought to begin it now, that song that we'll never need to end. Amen. Listen, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But friend, it'd be a shame to wait to begin singing His praise until this life is over. I want to begin singing His praise in this life, and I want to praise Him throughout this life and praise Him into the next. Hallelujah. I want to give God glory and honor for giving His Son and taking my place and paying my price that I might have pardon through His blood. Amen and amen. Listen, we ought to start singing that song now, rejoicing in the Lord. I'm saying that the song of the angels ought to give us joy and gladness. When we read that story about how that the angels appeared to the shepherds, it ought to cause our hearts to rejoice. The Spirit of God, when He moves into the heart of a repentant sinner, He begins immediately to show forth His fruit. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it goes on. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost moves into the heart of a repentant sinner, that sinner immediately starts loving God and loving others. Amen. And that sinner starts not only having love that he'd never had before, but now he has joy that he never had before. Now, I recognize that when a person gets saved, every one of them don't always come up shouting. Oh, no, I recognize that. Everybody don't express the same feelings and the same emotions. But I'm telling you, friend, every now and then it ought to bubble up in your soul. Every now and then the joy juice ought to run out of your eyes as God squeezes your heart and you get to thinking about the goodness of God and the grace of God.